Shalom Aleichem, everyone, and good afternoon. Thank you for calling in to learn this afternoon. Mr. Shem, we're going to have the weekly Chumash here, and it's mostly going to focus on different issues of ethics and responsibility that comes out of the parsha. So we appreciate anybody who's calling in or anybody who's listening, and of course we ask that people mute their phones because we usually record this for the shul website. One of the areas of life that we tend to enjoy the most is that of food, and especially if a person has a certain penchant, or often men or teenage boys, enjoys a good steak, enjoys meat. And that's something that we've come to believe is not only permissible, but is something that seems to be a great idea, because we have the concept of Simchas Yontiv. Simchas Yontiv is supposed to be through Basar V'Yayin, and we know that according to some Rishonim, that is still a mitzvah d'oraisa nowadays to eat meat on Yontiv. It's a very old question about how does a person eat mochet on Shavuos if we know there's a obligation to eat meat on the Chagin. We know that according to many poskim, we believe that a Sudas mitzvah, no matter when it is supposed to have meat with it. A siyum, of course, a bar mitzvah, a wedding. Many poskim even hold that at a bris milah, which is a Sudas mitzvah, there's supposed to be a chilas basar as well. Now, all of those things come to tell us that the idea of eating meat is a good idea. And obviously, it needs a bracha and requires shrita, requires all those things, but it's something that very much is a part of the culture and very much part of the obligation of what we do and who we are. Now, that being said, in this parsha Tzurei, we're told or we're given a very different impression, because the history of eating meat, essentially, is that it was prohibited with the creation of man, of Adam Rishon. The Sukkim tell us that all the grasses of the earth and all the produce, that should be yours, but not the meat. And we know that that was changed after the chait of the Dor HaMabul, after the chait of the generation of Noach. The way that's explained by Rav Kook is that when man was first created, there was a certain symbiosis, there was a harmony between man and nature, and man was not necessarily dominant over nature, but there was a symbiotic, harmonious relationship. The flood, that really destroyed that idea, that harmony. And now what had to step forward was man, to some degree, as dominating the world in a healthy and moral way. You know, man now had to make sure that he didn't kill other men, but that he was allowed to have a certain influence, around control over the world itself. And therefore, with that sort of shift from man being just part of a symphony of nature, but now man in a healthy way controlling nature, man was given permission to eat meat. That was after the flood of Noah. Once Bnei Yisrael entered into the Midbar, we no longer see that they ate meat, Sam for a meal or for Shabbos. Of course, they only ate the man anyway, but it was not permitted to them. And then all of a sudden, in Parshas Re'eh, when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking about the future and coming into the land of Israel, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to this topic of Achilas Basar. And Moshe says, Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha eskavulcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands your borders, and please keep in mind that language of Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha eskavulcha, because the Mephorshim point out, Rashi, the Gemara, many others, that it's a very unusual language, Ki yarchiv, that when God expands your borders, shouldn't just say that when you go into the land of Israel, ki yoresh, when you inherit the land, when God gives you the borders, doesn't mean ki yarchiv Hashem lekecha eskavulcha. That's really not what's happening anyway. We're going into the land of Israel. It's not that God is expanding the boundaries. We're simply going into the land. And that's an unusual language. It led some of Horshim to believe that the following two psukim that we're going to read really is not speaking about at this time, namely entering into the land of Israel or even during our days, but it's speaking about Gemos Mashiach. So the language of Kiyartiv, Hashem, Elokechas, the Vulkal, when God expands your borders, it's speaking about in the Messianic era. But anyways, the pasuk continues, Kiyartiv, Hashem, Elokechas, the Vulkal, when God expands your borders, Kasher Diber Loch, the way that God has told you that we're going to receive the land of Israel. And the pasuk continues in a very interesting language. Again, please take note of the language. V'amarta, and you will say, Ochla basar, you know, let me, or I should, or I want to eat meat. Kita'ave nafshecha lechol basar. Why? Because you're going to have a desire to eat meat. Bechol avas nafshecha tochol basar. And with all of your desire, avas nashecha, the desire of your soul, eat meat. And the pasuk continues, pasuk chaf aleph, this is Perikah Beis, pasuk chaf aleph, ki yirchak mimcha hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha lasum shmo sham. You're going to be living far away from Yerushalayim. But that is to say that the only type of achilas karbanos, achilas basar that was allowed was to eat the basar shlamim, was to eat the meat from the karbanos. But the pasuk says you're going to be living far away from Yerushalayim, and how are you going to eat meat then? Vizavachta mivkarcha umitzoncha asher nason Hashem l'cha kasher tibisicha. You're going to be living too far away to give karbanos of your bakar, of your cows, and of your tzon. V'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avas nashecha. And as a result, seeing that it's going to be hard for you to get to Yerushalayim to bring a karban, so at the very least, wherever you're living, you're allowed to go ahead and do shechita. You're allowed to do the ritual slaughter and eat the meat at that point. So these psukim are coming to teach us the law that we're allowed to eat basar, and presumably within these laws also we're told the necessity of doing shechita. So you can't just grab an animal and grab like a brontosaurus bone and start to eat. And it's also telling us that this was essentially because we're not going to have the opportunity to eat meat just through karbanos. We might live too far. So therefore, we've sort of given a concession of now allowing to eat meat. Now, these psukim are absolutely fascinating. It's fascinating because, A, the impression is that eating meat is a concession. It, because you might have a taiva, because you will have a taiva desire, because that desire is not going to be properly met by just bringing karbanos once in a while. So therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and eat meat. But again, that's certainly not the ideal state of affairs. And clearly, this is beferish in many places, but most beautifully in Rav Kook, this is only sort of temporary. I mean, whenever the days of Bias Mashiach is, whenever we go back to a whole state of living, we're going to give up eating meat. And in fact, Rav Kook says that many of the laws of Achilas Basar, that again is a concession to human nature, to human taiva, are there in a way to make a person reminded of what they're doing, and to some degree a little bit disgusted by what they're doing. The very fact that you have to do Shechita, the very fact that we're very controlled what you can or can't eat, the very fact that after you do shechita, so then you do kisa hadam, which is, you know, covering of the blood, all those things is to create a consciousness of that this pursuit of bodily pleasure in the form of meat is not ideal. And we should feel a certain sense, says Rav Kook, and I wouldn't say it, but Rav Kook himself was a vegetarian, a person should feel almost like a sense of disgust. So these psukim, to some degree, are conveying the feeling. You can't eat meat now. When you come into Israel, and you won't have the opportunity to eat basar kachim, and you have a taiva, and you say to yourself, so then we're going to allow you to, again, but it's to create that feeling of that this pursuit of pleasure in this way is not ideal. But I have two other questions. Question number one, is why specifically was this allowed only upon entrance into the land of Israel. If we say we're living in a non-ideal world, that would be true in the Midbar, that would be true in the land of Israel. So why have to wait? Why not have the opportunity of doing Shkita in the Midbar? So you might answer that it's a practical issue, because in the Midbar itself, when they were surrounded, or they surrounded the Mishkan, so they were always bringing karbanos, and they always had the opportunity of eating karbanos. When they come into Israel, that's not going to be the case. But most Mefarshim, many Mefarshim, they don't say that. They don't say it's just a pragmatic issue. There's something about entering into the land of Israel itself which is significant. The second question is that this language is weird. You'll come to Israel, v'amarta, and you're going to say, ochla basar, kita'ava nashcha lechol basar. You're going to sort of say to yourself, you know, I want to eat meat because I have a taiva, because I have a desire to do so. What does it mean you're going to say to yourself? Why doesn't Torah just say, when you come into Israel, so then you're allowed to slaughter animals for a steak, for a grilled chicken sandwich? Why go ahead and say, you're going to say to yourself? I mean, the language seems somewhat overly expansive, overly unnecessary, somewhat obtuse. So how do we understand, A, the entrance into the land of Israel, and B, this language of V'amarta? So what some people say is that with the entrance into the land of Israel, so the whole idea, let's say, according to Rav Kook, of eating meat, is that it's all part of the building of man's moral fiber. It's all part of man having a certain like moral directive, and allowing man to sort of build himself up physically and morally. And maybe that moral fiber was only in check, and that moral fiber was only cultivated and only sensitive and developed only in the land of Israel. And outside the land of Israel, maybe we assume that people are on a lower level, and therefore we sort of have to wait to go into Israel to have that experience. But Rashi quotes different shot, and Rashi basing himself on the Gemara Chulin. So Rashi says, what does it mean, going back to our question, of Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokechas Gevulcha, Harchava, spread out, expansion? Why use that language? So Rashi says, Lamda Torah Derech Eretz. And often the Rishonim will do this, or Chazal will do this. There's a subtle language in the Torah that's there to teach us Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means sort of a proper way of living, namely, Shelo Yit'aveh Adam Le'echol Basar. A person, it's only okay for a person to have a taiva for Basar. Ela Mitoch Rachavat Yadayim V'Osher. Only when a person is living a life of harchava, of expansion. Namely, when a person was living the life in the Midbar, sort of feeling like an Eved, feeling dependent financially on somebody else, not successful financially, somewhat limited in what they can accomplish. Says the Chazal, says Rashi, it would be too dangerous to allow a person to sort of give in to their taiva for basar under those circumstances. Because the nature of a person who's impoverished, or the nature of a person who's limited and not successful, is that instead of being able to control that taiva, instead of being able to monitor and discipline that taiva, the person who feels desperate is just going to reach for anything in their grasp. And that's exactly what happened in the Midbar. The Kivros HaTaiva, the desire for the Moabite women, the desire, as Chazal says, for incestuous relationships with family members, of course, the desire for to be like the Dagah, like the fish back in the Mitzrayim, and whatever that means, the desire for food outside of mud. All that is a reflection of sort of coming to taiva from a place of of narrowness and desperation and to some degree a certain amount of aggressiveness. And that's not okay, right? So the Torah is telling us that if you want to sort of deal with taiva in a healthy way, it can't be in a place of repression. It can't be in that place of the midbar. It has to be coming from a place where a person feels a certain amount of osher, a person's feeling a certain sense of harchava, of expansion. A person might be in a healthier place emotionally. A person has left behind sort of the shackles of, like, where's my next meal coming from? And then when you feel that, almost like a certain sense of menschlichkeit, and you feel like a ben adam, so, okay, you want to have a steak, so have a steak. You know, you can eat that in a very healthy way. But when a person is not in a healthy place, so then whatever taiva for a chila, whatever desire for food, just becomes sort of distorted by those needs. Now, that's what the Ksav Sofer also has in mind in addressing the language of the Torah that we're speaking about, that you'll come into the land of Israel as the Amarta, and you're going to say to yourself, Ochla basar, I should eat meat. Namely, your seichel is involved, the Amarta. The Amarta implies stopping and thinking and reflecting from a calm place, and then saying, you know what, I should eat meat. You know, I'm in the land of Israel now, I'm raising flocks, I have cows, I'm sort of a settled person, you know, let me eat meat. But that's very different than sort of the image of the person who's just hoarding and grabbing and needing and everything else. That's a very different image. That's the Torah's image of a person who enjoys taiva in a healthy way. A person who has a harchavas hadas, as we said before, from the Gemara, he's a little bit more expanded. He has a little bit more comfort level now. And he stops and he thinks. Now, these psukim and the lessons of these psukim are so critical. Because we're constantly, dancing a slow dance, or we're constantly in a state of a give and a take with all of our needs, sexual needs, food needs, so all the other things that we have in our lives. And the question is how to have those needs come from a very healthy place, from a very calm place, and from a place of the amarta. I'll say to myself, yes, this is something that I would like to enjoy and to do so in a healthy way and to do so in a way that's appropriate. And to always sort of make sure that we're in that place, that place of God consciousness and calm, Merchavas Hadas. Once we sort of lose that, once we get into a place of impulse and need and desire and feeling overwhelmed, so then all of a sudden we have gravitated from being the people who can enjoy taiva, the Torah Kedusha, the people that we were in the midbar, people who are just sort of seeking and needing and desiring, and obviously that's very much a reflection of the downfall of Klal Yisrael. So, Yitzhak Hashem, this trek that Bnei Yisrael was on, it's a trek of entering the land of Israel, but more so a trek of establishing a certain moral fiber. Should be something that we continue to grow from and learn from in our own personal journeys in life. Thank you for listening, and have a great Shabbos. Bye.